there is one who is mightier, untouched, unseen, unclean. A man approaches with nothing left but hope. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus moves toward him. He touches what no one else will. I will be clean. And everything changes because mercy is stronger than fear. There is one who is mightier.
This weekend, our nation remembers. We set aside Memorial Day not just as the unofficial beginning of summer, not just as a day off or a day for barbecue or time with your family. We set aside Memorial Day as a day to remember. Because for those whose families have suffered the ultimate price, where someone from your family laid down his or her life for the freedom that you and I possess, Memorial Day takes on a whole new significance. If you were to go to Arlington, Virginia, you might go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It's guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, commemorating all of those who laid down their lives in service for our country, originally honoring those whose bodies never came home. 1921, right after the ravages of World War I, the country recognizing the sorrow, the unclosed grief of those who had no body to celebrate, to honor, to remember. They went and found an unknown soldier in France who died in World War I, brought him back to Arlington National Cemetery, where that soldier today is commemorated. The words underneath there, here in honored rest, an American soldier known only to God. And we remember that this life laid down in service for our country suggests all of those who have gone before, who paid an ultimate price, who sacrificed so that you and I enjoy freedom, who laid down their lives so that you and I could live. This morning, we're going to look at another kind of sacrifice. Not on a battlefield, but on the dusty road of Galilee. Not an enemy of an army, but an enemy of an unquenchable disease. The worst disease the ancient world ever knew. For this man, he would never again know the affection, the love of a friend, the touch of a spouse or a child. He would never know again the fellowship of a community of faith. For this man, on whom was a death sentence of leprosy, he only knew life like a living dead. You'd see him long before he saw you. And when he came into proximity with you, he'd throw dust in the air, he'd cover his mouth, his clothes were torn, his breath was sour, and he'd cry out, unclean. And the only remedy that that culture knew was quarantine, to protect him from all of those who were still unaffected. And one day, he met Jesus. We pick up the story in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, as we continue in this series about the life of Jesus, the person of Jesus, this one who is mightier. And we learn something new about this one who is mighty. Follow along in your copy of God's Word in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. A man with leprosy came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed, and he sternly warned him, and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the cleansing which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, staying out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. What we see is more than a healing, more than just something else that Jesus had done. We've already seen the sequence of events that began early on as Mark describes Jesus coming to be baptized, Jesus calling the disciples, Jesus victorious over temptation, Jesus casting out demons in the synagogue, Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law sick with fever, and word began to spread. First, people from all over Capernaum were coming to find Jesus such that he couldn't even walk around the house or the community and went out to pray, and the disciples found him and said, "Do you remember? Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus said, "Let's go somewhere else. I can preach the gospel there because that's why I've come." And now, having left Capernaum, the crowds have followed him. And we find Jesus along an unknown path in an unknown territory. Verse 45 really sets the scene of what looks like a reversal, a change of fortune. When you look at the two men, Jesus and the leper began the story outside the community of faith. At the end of the story, the leper is inside. Jesus began the series of events inside the community, but at the end, verse 45 says, Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. And we find a fascinating series of events as Jesus declares himself to be mightier even than the worst disease mankind knew. And so this morning, my goal is fourfold. I want us to see Jesus more clearly. I want us to hear Jesus more carefully. I want us to know Jesus more intimately, and I want us to obey him more faithfully. Watch how the text progresses, beginning in verse 40. A leper came to Jesus. It's all we know about him. We don't know his name. He's identifiable only by his condition. He's a leper. It's all you really needed to know about this man. He was unknown. Community feared him. His family shunned him. Where he lived would no longer accept him. Outcast in the community of faith, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus, having just left Capernaum because the crowds were following him, now finds this man, a leper, who confronts him on the road. Leprosy was the plague of the ancient world. It was the worst disease that the ancient world knew. It was a disease for which there was no cure. In Scripture, the word leprosy can actually be something of a general term. It refers to any kind of skin disease. In fact, if you read Leviticus chapter 13, leprosy can be on the body, it can be on the clothes, it can even be on your house. And depending where the leprosy was, there was a series of kinds of treatments or cleansing rituals. But for those who had the worst kind of leprosy, what we would call today Hansen's disease, there was literally no cure. It attacked the central nervous system. It desensitized your feelings so that you couldn't feel your body wasting away. The digits would sometimes curl and sometimes fall off. Your face would be distorted. Your hair would fall out. There was a stench about you that smelled like death. And maybe the worst part of that, worse even than the fact that there was no cure, the only recourse for leprosy was quarantine. And for the rest of their natural existence, they would know only contact from others who were lepers. And the text says, a leper came to Jesus. Leprosy was contagious, and lepers were untouchable. And even if for some miraculous reason God healed them or some natural thing happened that would be inexplicable, there was still a series of things that they would do. And Leviticus 14 describes the process that one who was miraculously healed by God would go to the priest and they would offer a sacrifice for their cleansing. There would be a waiting period. They'd come back in 7 days and then the priest would then declare them clean if in fact it happened. But there's really no evidence in Scripture that ever happened. We really only know to this point one individual healed of leprosy, and he wasn't a Jew. We heard the story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, who was miraculously healed of leprosy, but he would not be obligated to follow the law. Can you imagine those priests who were familiar with Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14, but have never maybe even practiced that because they've never seen leprosy before? A leper came, and he came to Jesus. Now, Jesus, having been confronted by this man whom Luke describes as full of leprosy, suggesting that it's now some kind of advanced form of leprosy, maybe affecting his entire body, maybe affecting all of his nervous system, maybe the only thing he could do would come prostrate himself before Jesus, bowing down, Luke says, with his face to the ground. A leper came, and the Bible says, he calls out to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It's the first account we have of the healing of leprosy. Doesn't mean no healing had ever taken place. It's just we have no account of it in Scripture. John says, if all the miracles of Jesus were ever written down, we don't have enough books in the world to record them. And none of his miracles were ever disputed. Jesus healed, and maybe word had gotten out. Word began to spread. Maybe it was the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Maybe it was the casting out of a demon in the synagogue. Maybe it was all of those from Capernaum who came to Jesus, and word began to get out. And a leper came and bowed down before Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Mark describes his tone, his posture, and his words. His tone is imploring, his posture is humble, his words are confident. If you are willing, you can make me clean. This man is absolutely, he's emphatically confident. Jesus can heal me, despite what they knew about leprosy. In that same passage in 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a story about this man, Naaman, who was leprous. He was a leper. He was the general in the Syrian army. And the Syrian king heard about a prophet of God in Israel, sent Naaman to the king of Israel, and said to him, heal this man of his leprosy. And the Bible records the king of Israel's response in 2 Kings 5, verse 7. Listen to how he describes it. The king of Israel read the letter. He tore his clothes and he said, am I God to kill and keep alive? This man is sending word to me to cure a man of leprosy. But consider now, see how he is seeking a quarrel against me, because only God can heal leprosy. And yet this leper seems to know that. Maybe his faith is even greater than these newly chosen disciples. He came to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I believe you can do something that only God can do. Maybe he knows something that the world had yet undiscovered. This one is the Messiah of God. This one has the power of God. And his wonder is not in whether Jesus is able, but merely whether Jesus was willing. You can make me clean. The law required 6 feet of social distancing at a minimum between a leper and a clean person. But now this man, violating every social norm, he's too close for anyone's comfort, but the gravity of his condition is matched by the intensity of his approach. He comes before Jesus and he bows down with his face prostrate to the ground. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And now, within arm's reach of the Savior, bowing before him, the text says Jesus was moved with compassion. We find a fascinating picture about the compassion of our Lord. How Jesus was moved, how he was affected, not just interrupted, he was moved with compassion, like the story of the prodigal son when he returned. And the Bible says in Luke 15, when the father saw him from a distance, he was moved with compassion. And he ran to him. Now Jesus, with this outcast in their culture, a death sentence on his life, prostrate before him, was moved. Jesus, in his compassion, addresses this man. And I love the words of the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. We have a high priest who's compassionate. We have a high priest who understands who we are, our weaknesses, and even sympathizes. Jesus conveyed to him, I will not leave you isolated. I see you. Jesus moved with compassion, but the text goes on and says, Jesus touched him. The law forbade it. Reason would refuse it. Jesus touched him. Leprosy was contagious, far more so than any disease of that time, and it was understood that if you were close enough to a leper or you made physical contact with him, the leprosy that that person had would now belong to you, and you would catch that disease. And so you can imagine in that moment when all who were there, because the Bible says everyone was coming, and when all who were there saw Jesus with this man kneeling down at his feet, and he reaches out and touched him. Can you imagine the gasps of all those who were standing by, thinking, now surely Jesus is going to be leprous. Jesus has violated the law. He's touched a man who was unclean, because in that day, if a clean person touches someone or something that is unclean, then the clean person becomes unclean. Jesus did that backwards. Did you notice that? In this case, when the clean one met the one who was unclean, the clean person did not become unclean, but the unclean man became clean. And all of a sudden, merely by the encounter, merely by the touch of Jesus, he could have healed him with a word. He's done that before. Jesus could have stood at a safe and socially acceptable distance and announced his leprosy cured. He could have done that, but that's not what Jesus did. He touched him. Have you heard the phrase skin hunger? It's a recognized medical disease. It's sometimes referred to as skin starvation. It refers to a deprivation of human touch, where someone who has gone for so long without the affection of a human touch, and how touch is so therapeutic. It affects one's mental health. It affects one's stress. It affects even one's physical development. It's why when a newborn child is born into the earth, they recommend skin touch. Something therapeutic about a touch. Numerous medical studies talk about how touch boosts cortisol in the body. It triggers feelings of security and intimacy. It's also why the first Saturday of July is International Free Hug Day. It's why you have a pet. Because there's something about touch. Mark's infatuated by the touch of Jesus. 8 different times, Mark records healings of Jesus by touch. We've already seen it once in Mark chapter 1 with Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus touched her. He touches a leper. Mark 10, parents were bringing their children to Jesus so that he'd touch them. There was something about the touch of Jesus. Jesus reached down and he touched him. And then he spoke. Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." So the sequence of conversation went like this: if you are willing, you can make me clean. This leper, recognizing his own inadequacy, recognizing his own uncleanness, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I am unclean. To which Jesus responded, "I am willing, be clean." I'm willing, Jesus said, and we hear the compassion of Jesus now verbalized. I'm willing. He's not just touched him. He's now expressed what the man had wondered about. I'm willing. If you're willing, you can. I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately, mark that word, immediately, the leprosy left. In this passage, we find the 11th and 12th uses of the word immediately in Mark chapter 1. Mark will use that term 42 times throughout the gospel. 12 times in Mark chapter 1, immediately this happened. Immediately this happened. I think maybe this is my favorite immediately in the gospel of Mark. Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately, leprosy left. And so now we've seen demons obey the voice of the Lord. Sickness obeys the command of the Lord. Even leprosy obeys the command of the Lord. Be cleansed, and leprosy left. There's not a progressive healing that takes place. He is immediately healed. There's not an improvement that has taken place. He is now clean. He's not just healed, he's clean. What that means is he can stand before the priest and the priest will acknowledge he is clean. He can stand in the community of faith. He can be restored to his family. He can be touched again because Jesus has touched him and has cleaned him. And now the withered fingers have begun to stretch out. Now the skin that had become deformed has now become flesh again. Now the hair that had gone is returned. Now the feeling is back because Jesus touched me. And immediately, the leprosy has left. And in a culture where a clean would never encounter the unclean, Jesus has countermanded the rules. He did just the opposite. He broke the rules but deleted any evidence of it. And there is no more uncleanness. The unclean has become clean. And then Jesus gave the man two directives. Some instructions that Jesus gives this now newly cleansed former leper. Look verse 43. Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. He said to him, "First, see that you say nothing to anyone." That's command number one that Jesus gave. Seems a little bit counterintuitive, doesn't it? Of a king come to earth, of a prophet who's still gaining in popularity, this seems counterintuitive. Wouldn't you think that Jesus would want this man to go tell everybody what Jesus did for him? Wouldn't you think it would just make sense that Jesus wants word to get out? Jesus wants people to know all the things that Jesus has done. And so surely everyone there must have been wondering when they heard Jesus say, not just say it, he commanded it. Sternly instructed him, say nothing to anyone. That's the first command. The second imperative Jesus gave him is there in the middle of verse 44. Instead, go show yourself to the priest, offer a sacrifice. So he is to go and obey the law. He is to go to the priest. Jesus has healed him physically. Only the priest can restore him spiritually to the community. Only the priest can now welcome him back. And so Jesus is doing something else for him, even if he doesn't yet understand it. I want you to go to the priest. I want you to offer a sacrifice that the Bible commands. But note why Jesus said that. I want you to go to the priest. I want you to offer their cleansing just as the law commands, as a testimony to them. Don't say anything to anybody. Go to the priest, offer a sacrifice as a testimony. I'm trying to envision that moment, if in fact this leper actually did what Jesus instructed him to do. Made his way to the synagogue. The priest's office is there, full of all the things that priests would normally do. And now there's this man, formerly a leper, who comes to him and says, I'm healed. And perhaps having never seen leprosy cured before, they've dusted off now Leviticus 14 scroll, and they now follow what is prescribed in the law for a man who was formerly a leper. Jesus said, that's your testimony. I want you to go to the priests, the ones who know more than anyone in that culture. Only God heals leprosy. I want you to go to the priests, the one who studied the scripture. I want you to go to them because they're going to find out there's a man in Galilee with the power that only God has. There's a man in Galilee who can heal a leper. There's a man in Galilee who can do things that have never been done before. Go show yourself to the priests. God wanted an act of faith, and he wanted an act of testimony. Ironically, Jesus told this man to tell no one, and the text says he told everyone. Whereas, in a day where you and I have been told to tell everyone, very often we tell no one. Don't tell anyone. Go show yourselves to the priests. Verse 45, but he went out and began to proclaim it freely. And spread the news around. His disobedience is understandable, though it doesn't excuse it. You can almost cut him some slack that he has a story to tell. A man on whom there was a death sentence, who has been miraculously healed, something done for him that perhaps had never been done before. A man who now has a story to tell from which he has been miraculously delivered, but Jesus gave him a command that he did not follow. The text records his disobedience. He went out and proclaimed it freely, having just been told not to do that. He did what Jesus told him not to do. Worse, there's no real evidence in verse 45 that he did what Jesus told him to do. I'd like to think he went to the priest just like Jesus instructed and offered a sacrifice as Jesus commanded him, but there's no evidence in the story, and you could read this story and come to this conclusion: he's been miraculously healed by Jesus and disobeyed him twice. He did what Jesus told him not to do and potentially didn't do what Jesus told him to do. And there were consequences of his sin. To be sure, you and I are in no way able to undo the sovereign plan of God or get in the way of what God is doing, but notice what happened. He went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent, Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. Stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Compare that to what the disciples said to Jesus in verse 37. Everyone is looking for you. And now they're coming to him from everywhere. And yet, Jesus' ability to minister in the communities has now been adversely impacted. Jesus' ability to even go into a city has been changed. When we get to Mark chapter 2 that we'll look at next week, Jesus couldn't even enter a house where all the people that were there, it was so crowded everywhere he went. We understand the man's disobedience, but Jesus' commands are not suggestions. There are consequences to disobedience. In the end, our best testimony is our obedience. He meant well, but it doesn't matter. Jesus said it. You could argue what Jesus said doesn't make sense to me, but it doesn't matter because Jesus said it. You could even say, I don't agree. I think Jesus should do something differently, but it doesn't matter because Jesus said it. And in the end, if we have enough faith to trust him for what we want from him, we ought to have enough faith to trust him enough to do what he wants from us. Jesus began the story at the center of town and into the story outside. The leper who began the story outside the community has ended the story inside and welcome again. And it is as though Jesus traded places with him. In the same way, he traded places with you and me on the cross. Because leprosy is a lot like sin. Sin causes us to be unclean. Sin has no cure. Sin leads to separation from death. Sin desensitizes us to its sinfulness. And worst of all, sin leads to death. But God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, who made a perfect sacrifice, who took the punishment of our sin, who took the judgment that you and I deserve. He fixed the separation between you and I and God, and he took away our death sentence. No one is too sick or too far that Jesus cannot heal. I want us to see Jesus. He's compassionate. I want us to hear Jesus. He's willing. I want us to know Jesus. He's able. And I want us to obey Jesus because he said it. And at the end of the day, we who have been given much, we who have received miraculous things from the Father over and over again, we whose lives have been changed like the man in the story, ought to leave recommitted to our obedience to him. A leper came to Jesus, and his life was changed, and so can yours.